Guys, do you know what we are experiencing here? I believe with all my heart. Just a thought before we get started. Do you know what we are experiencing here? These are like good times. No, not in a casual sense. They are. These are the good times. We are, I believe, in something, in the midst of something that God is doing purely by His grace. And He will put it together, and there is a vision, and there is a purpose, and there is a moving of God. And that moving of God will take place. But what we're experiencing here are good times. I don't know how long we will be like this. Right? But this is a time of tremendous opportunity to grow in a very intimate and private way with God. I mean, I don't know where everyone here will end up. I have like ideas about some, but I do not know where everyone will end up. And you're gonna get somewhere like 10, 20 years from now. Like, let's agree that we will be walking with God in faithfulness and truth until the day we go home. Let's make that agreement with each other. Because there is no other place to walk that is really a real place. I knew a man who had planted a very fruitful church, and the church is still very fruitful. As a matter of fact, it is now even more fruitful than when he had it, when he was its pastor. He no longer believes that the Bible is the Word of God. He had turned aside, and he had pursued something other than that which God had for him. That was tragic. That man is a casualty. He is a casualty. The warfare got him. Satan came in and deceived. And he believed the lie that the enemy had for him. Never believe a lie. It is easy to believe a lie because sometimes it is easier to believe a lie than to believe the truth. Or it appears easier. But that is only if we walk by sight and natural evaluation. Never believe a lie. This is a rare thing that happens like this. When I was a Bible college student, I used to want to hang out with the pastors, with the really rich portions. Because you want to glean from them. And so you go and you go to the raps and you just hang out with them and you glean from them. I find it curious that every one of the pastors, except for Pastor Schaller, who was not the head pastor. In other words, Pastor Stevens was the head pastor. But with the exception of Pastor Schaller, every one of those pastors had left. Not for good reasons. Let's agree that we will never leave. Not that we can't leave this place or even this church, but that we will never leave the call of God. That we will never leave a walk with Him. That we will never leave Him. Let's agree with that. Because when we leave, we lose. There is no way to lose with God except for one, to quit. If I quit, then I suffer the loss of rewards. And so I lose. Oh, I cannot lose my salvation, but I can lose my rewards. I can lose my joy. I can lose the fulfillment that I have from a close and intimate walk with God. I can lose the assurance that I have through a walk in faith. Sometimes faith will take me to places I don't understand. It is the Holy Spirit that is guiding me, and I believe Him. Sometimes He will show me things that I don't understand. In Isaiah 42, He says, I show you things before they come to pass, so you know that I was the one who brought them. Sometimes I don't understand these things. In a manner of speaking, as a believer, I live my life between what is and what will be. Not that I get anxious about the future, but simply because I believe God in all that He has said. I don't always understand, I don't know how or when, but I believe God. And then God brings it to pass in His time. Sometimes it seems frightening, but it's not. The perfect plan of God, the will of God, is the most secure and safe place in the universe. Because He sends His angels, He sends His angels to protect me there. If I am in the perfect will of God, nothing can touch me that God does not allow. But I have to stay in that perfect plan of God. Maybe it will by sight not make any sense whatsoever. Like when I was in Bible college, I knew that I was called to be a pastor and that I was called to be a preacher. It didn't make sense to me when I went to pursue medical school. But I also knew that that was the will of God. Now, how can I reconcile two things that I don't understand? They seem by sight to be mutually exclusive, and yet they were equally, I knew that without a doubt that they were the will of God. And I could not understand it. It wasn't for years, I mean like 10 years went by before God gave me any understanding of what was going on. People would tell me, you are doing the wrong thing, you are wrong. But I knew that it was right. I stood before God in a conviction of that which He has shared with me, knowing that He was true. I knew He would never lie to me. And I knew that that which He had shared with me, I could rest in and stand on. Never be afraid of the things God may show you, even if they appear scary. Why? Because you cannot be touched. Like the Hebrew boys saw the fire. Right? That was not they knew what a furnace was. And yet they trusted God in the plan. And they knew that if they went into the furnace, God would take care of them. The most dangerous place to be was outside of the furnace. The furnace was in fact the safest place to be. You see, the ones who were in the grandstands watching, and there were plenty of people watching, because this was a public display, these were like the unbelievers. They lived their life and they die. They never have an experience or a life or a walk or a relationship with the Savior. The ones that are in the furnace, they are like the spirit-filled, faith-filled believer. They will go where God sends them. They will not hesitate. They do not look back. They don't put their hand to the plow and look back and say, oh, the world, or oh, my provision, or oh, my sight. Oh, I wish I could understand. You know what? In my life, I understood very little of what God was doing. I thought I understood, but I understood very little. I knew what He had showed me, but I didn't get it. I knew the what, but that's all I knew. I'm still like that. I know the what, but I don't understand. Like, I know, for example, that this will become a great church. How? I have no clue. When? I don't know. But this is what will happen. Will it be big or small? I have no clue. But I know that this is what will happen. I know certain things, and I do not understand, and I am not afraid, because I know my Savior. I know my Savior. I know that He holds me by the hand, and He keeps me, and He guides me. So we live between two worlds, if you will, that which is and that which will come. The vision that God imparts, that which He shares with my heart, and that which is now and here. And so we live between these two places. It is a walk of faith. That's what that is a walk of faith. Never be afraid of God's provision. By the way, never think that you can provide yourself with a better provision than God can. God's provision is the best provision there is. Sometimes that provision will not make sense. Like, I was called to go to medical school. I thought, no, I wasn't. You see, God, when He spoke to my heart about that, He says, go and work towards medical school. He never said, you're going to be a doctor. He said, I simply want you in this process. I did not understand. But at the same time, I knew I was going to be a preacher, and I knew that I was going to be a pastor. But I knew, I learned, I didn't know at the time, but I learned that the value was in the process. It was all about the process. Sometimes God will call you to something that you do not understand. Or maybe you will be afraid of it. It is not something that you like will appear correct to you necessarily, but you will know, you will have the conviction in your heart that it is from God. Makes no sense by sight. You can't see your way to getting there, but it really doesn't matter. We were not called to understand. We were called to be obedient to God. And in our obedience, as we walk with Him, understanding will come. Never be afraid of God's plan or God's calling. Do not shun it. Do not repel it. Embrace it. Embrace it, because it is perfect and it is from Him. And it will be life to you. Any other thing will not be life. Many things will be death. But God will never give you death. God will only give you life. The world says, pursue happiness, pursue money, careers, the good life. But there is no good life in the world. There may be a comfortable life. There may be a life of pleasures. That I may be rich and get a yacht and a big house. But those things have no meaning. Rich people, you know, you talk to somebody who's rich, they are often even more empty on the inside than someone who is poor. Because frequently the poor people will aspire in some way to be rich, but the rich person has nothing more to aspire to. It's like Sylvester Stallone. I heard an interview with him one time. He said, I got to the top, I looked around, and I found there was nothing there. If you walk with God, If you trust Him in the calling, if you trust Him in the plan, there will be something there. There will always be something there. You know what you will find? If you find nothing else, you will find two things. You will find an intimate and sweet relationship to the One who loves your soul. And you will find hidden treasures in dark places. These are treasures that cannot be found apart from going through those dark places. Never be afraid of faith. Faith is your provision from God. Never walk by sight. You will be blind if you do. Never try to evaluate with natural reasoning or the way that the world thinks. The world has no mind to think with, neither does the natural man. The only mind there is the mind of Christ. There is no other mind. If I try to have the mind of the world and the mind of the natural man and the mind of Christ simultaneously, in other words, if I am a believer who tries to think like the world thinks, I become double-minded. I have the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit has the mind of Christ, and yet I have a longing for natural thought, natural reasoning. I have a longing for things to fall into place the way that the world says they ought to, the way that my thoughts say, my intellect says, this is how things ought to be. I am in fact double-minded and unstable in all of my ways. Not just some of them, but in fact all of them. Because when I do that, I walk apart from God who knows the beginning and the end. God sees right now where we will finish. Right now, He is both in my heart and in eternity. And in fact, my heart is already in eternity because I am in Christ and He is in me. He sees my heart. And He sees the end of the process. He sees right now, He can see the day that I go home. He knows what my mansion will look like. He is building it. He knows where I will live. He knows if I will live perhaps near the crystal sea. He knows whether I will reign or not. He knows the rewards that I will receive. He knows the name that He will give me, which will be written on a white stone that nobody knows but God, and He will reveal it to me. He knows who I am. He knows what I am made of. He knows where I came from. He knows where I am going. He already sees it. Don't be afraid of it. The One who put it in place is the One who first loves me so much that He gave Himself for me, and two, had the authority and power to create all things created. The entirety of the universe and all that is in it. This is the One who has crafted a plan for my life. In my experience, it seldom made any sense by sight. Sight only came long after the vision. But God has always been true. And God has always been faithful. And He will continue to be so. He will do so for me and He will do so for you. The only mistake that I can make is to turn away from that plan. To turn away from His perfect will. To turn away from that which He has for me. People do this all the time. Sometimes it's because of a job, sometimes it's a relationship, sometimes it's because of something else. But they do it all the time. Pursue the calling of God, pursue His will beyond all things. Don't worry if you feel like you have the ability in yourself to make something happen, because I will assure you that you do not. Neither do I. Prabhupada will also assure you that faithful he is he who has called you, who will also do it. Because he will. He is in fact the only one with that ability. Never be afraid to trust God, no matter what sight happens to tell you. If God shares something with you through His Word, through His Spirit, trust Him. One of the greatest things that I have done for myself, and this I think is really important for everyone, that I know it is true in my own life, is that I learned how to hear from God. I didn't learn to be a perfect person. I am certainly nowhere near. But I learned to hear from God. Why? How did I learn it? I don't know. I think that I simply learned it through being available to hear from Him. There are two things that are required to hear from Him. A humility of heart and a stillness. The proud person will not hear from God because the proud person is not really interested in hearing. The proud person is more interested in his own thoughts than the thoughts of God. The proud person becomes very self-occupied. He will see things through a veil or a glass of himself. He will evaluate God's call on the basis of his thinking towards that call. He will say to, okay, God has called me, how can I make this happen? Or God has called me, how do I feel about it? Do I like the notion of what must be? This is the proud person. The proud person will not receive the love of God except in a superficial level where it tantalizes the emotions but it doesn't transform the heart. But because it's a superficial love, they don't always recognize it. Because they are self-oriented, they do not always see what is inside of them as being anything other than sweet and beautiful. The proud person is very narcissistic. They become very self-centered. And this is not good. The proud person cannot see that perhaps he is wrong. And God cannot communicate to his heart. God cannot correct him. God cannot communicate to him. I must be humble if I want to hear from God. I will never hear from God apart from humility. I have to be meek before him. Meekness is simply humility before God. I have to be meek before him. By the way, meekness is not this pseudo-cowering, pseudo-humility thing that a lot of people think meekness is, where I'm afraid to speak up. That's nothing. That has nothing to do with meekness. That's more like cowardice. Meekness is, I believe God, and I am humble before him. That's all it is. I simply believe God. And I humble myself before Him. I don't exalt my opinion or my understanding above His thoughts and His Word and His way. I do not exalt myself above the Holy Spirit. If I do, I will not hear from Him. Why would I want to hear from Him if I am so great and He is so little? The other thing that I need is stillness. I have to be still so that I can hear the still small voice of God. I cannot be still if I don't trust Him because I will keep running. If I do not trust God, there are two things. There is faith and there is fear. And really, they are essentially the same thing. Except one has an extra ingredient, and that is love. If I do not trust God, I will not be still before Him. If I don't know that God loves me unconditionally as I am, regardless of what I happen to do, how badly I happen to fail, if I do not know that He loves me in that condition, in the midst of my worst failure, that He loves me, then I will not trust Him. And if I do not trust Him, I will not be still before Him. I will not be quiet in my heart. I will not be available to hear when He speaks. And so I have to be still before God. When you hear the voice of God, you will know it. There will be no ambiguity or uncertainty. You know who you have heard. God's voice carries the authority of grace. And there is a holiness to it. When you hear the voice of God, you will have the grace of God to hear what He has said. He may call you, perhaps, to some place like Nepal, or some Muslim country, or perhaps some place where disease is rampant. Or maybe He'll call you to some worse place, like an arrogant, cold European nation, where people have comfort along with their death. Do not be afraid when that happens. It is God's perfect provision. In our church, we have people in Africa. They go to some pretty dangerous places sometimes. Dangerous from the sense of disease. And sometimes also political danger. And sometimes danger to Christians because they oppress believers. They kill believers in times. We have churches in the Sudan, for example. Sudanese believers are sometimes killed just because they are believers. We have churches in Muslim countries. If God should call me to such a place, I must not be afraid, because His provision is there for me. It's like that man who was called to Africa. And he and his wife, they were afraid. So instead of going to Africa, they went to Florida. In Florida, his children died. Then he went to Africa. Florida was a much more dangerous place for that man than Africa. I do not know what would have happened to his children in Africa. But certainly, what happened in Florida could not have been any worse. Don't be afraid of the call of God. Don't be afraid of the leading of God. Don't be afraid to trust Him. Even if you do not understand, the Spirit-filled believer will frequently not understand what God is leading him into, what God is showing him. With some experience and some maturity, you stop trying to understand. You simply believe. When I first started out, God led me in ways that I didn't understand also, but I knew they were from Him. I was a young believer with very little experience, and I was immature in my faith. I didn't have much doctrine. But I did know how to hear from Him, and I did believe Him. And because I believed Him, I stayed in what He had said to me. If I had gone out of what He had said to me, I think I would have been in a far worse place. Don't worry if you don't understand it. Don't worry if you don't necessarily even like it. You see, God gives me the desire of my heart. If I am not willing to follow God, then it is for God to make me willing. And then when I follow God, He will fulfill. The only thing though that I need to make sure is that it's God that I'm following. A lot of people say they will follow after God and they don't follow after Him at all. You know what they follow after? They follow after their emotions. They follow after natural reasoning. They follow after the world, although they call themselves believers. And they live like the world, they think like the world, they act like the world, and they are the world, albeit born again. There is no difference. With God, there is a difference. Now, He will allow me to have what I choose. If I choose to live like the world, He will allow me to. But I'll guarantee you, is if I am a born-again believer, He will take me home early because of it. Although He will not violate my free volition, I will not violate His. He won't allow that either. I may try to violate the will of God, but God will not tolerate it. If I embrace the will of God, regardless of if I get it, God will be faithful. God will take care of me there. And I will have eternal rewards for it. And by the way, He won't abandon me. He will never abandon. I know a man who was called to Norway. He was a pastor in Norway. He had no food. What money he received, he frequently gave away to people who had even less than he did. He had nothing. And one day he came home and his wife said, "There's nothing in the refrigerator. We have no money. We have no food. What are we going to do?" They didn't know. The next morning when they got up, there was a bag, like a bag of groceries in front of their door and a note, "God told me to buy you some groceries." They didn't tell anybody. God will always take care of me in that which He has called me to do, in the place where He has led me. It is the place of my provision. Do not shy away. Do not be afraid. Do not walk away. Do not hold God's plan at arm's length. It is possible for a believer to not embrace the plan of God and still tell himself that he is in it. The will of God. And still tell himself that he is in it. And he kind of says, "Okay, I recognize this is God's plan, but I don't want to lose my life in it. So I will keep God's plan at arm's length where I won't oppose it, but I won't really walk in it either. I won't embrace it either." That believer is not going to have a very good time. You see, there was a third group of people when the Hebrew boys went into the fire. There were the ones watching, and there were the Hebrew boys in the fire, and then there were the ones who were standing outside the furnace. They could feel it was warm. They wouldn't go into the fire. You know what happened to them, right? The fire consumed them. The fire didn't consume the ones who were in the furnace. The fire consumed the ones who were standing outside the furnace. The fire will never consume the believer who is spirit-filled and spirit-led and put by God into a furnace, into a trial, into a difficult situation. They will never be consumed in it. The ones that are consumed is the ones that hold it at arm's length, that say, "I will not go in that furnace. I will not necessarily disassociate myself from you, God. No, I would never do that. But I will not go into the furnace with you either." They are the ones who are consumed. Because God is in the furnace and He is a burning fire. In the furnace, the fire burned away the bondage, the fire burns away the hang-ups, the fire burns away the old sin nature, the fire burns away the things that hold me back from Him, the things that hinder me, the things that really are a burden to my soul. Those things are burned away in the furnace. In the furnace, I develop an intimate and sweet relationship with God. Do you know why God brings the furnace? So that I draw close to Him. If He never brought the trial, if He never brought the difficulty, I would never draw close to my Savior. He brings it so I get to draw near to Him. I have to draw near to Him. I have no other options. And that's precisely what He wants. Believers like their options. They do. They like their options. I want the option to go on the field if I want or to stay here if I want. And certainly God will allow me to do that. I want the option to go to this church or to that church, depending on what suits me. I want the option to go be a soul winner or not be a soul winner, depending how I feel. The Spirit-filled believer who's filled with the Word of God will have the results of the Word of God in his heart. The Word of God living, not just present, but alive in my heart, removes my options. Doctrine removes options. And though it does not remove my free volition, it will remove my options. Because there will only be one option when I get to know how deeply and intensely I am loved by God. I will have no options. I will not be able to go. It's like Jesus said to Peter, "Will you leave also?" After he gave a hard saying and the disciples all left. I mean, they all got up and left. They said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear this?" And they walked away. God on earth, in bodily form, they could see Him, touch Him, hold Him, they could be held by Him. In bodily form, He was there. They heard a hard saying and they walked away. And He said to Peter, "Will you go away also?" And Peter said to Him, "Where can I go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You alone. There is no other option for me, Lord. Who else? You alone." The love of God, the Word of God, took away Peter's options. It will take away my options. I have no options. I must follow God. I must follow the call. I must walk in obedience. I have no options. Not that I have no free volition. I could say no if I wanted, but I cannot bring myself to say no. Why? Because You alone, God, have the words of eternal life. You alone, God, are the source of my fulfillment and my joy. You alone, God, will lead me and fulfill me and give me the desires of my heart. I have no options with God. The love of God is too great to resist. And once you have tasted the love of God, you can't turn back. The world does not suffice. My own ability does not suffice. Natural provisions and natural thinking does not suffice. I can't turn back. You see, there is nothing sweeter. There is nothing that the world has to offer that is more precious and sweet and valuable and fulfilling and dear as the love of God. There is nothing out there. Oh, they will offer you things. They'll offer you a good time. They'll offer you temporal success. They'll offer you relationships. But they are empty and meaningless and void and painful. They offer nothing. The world, in truth, it is a cookie. It's like a fortune cookie. Really, it tastes sweet for a little while, and you open it up and it says, "Here's your fortune," but it doesn't work. Yeah, it's empty on the inside. It doesn't work. When it is gone, it is gone. You've eaten the sweet part and there is nothing left. Except there is something, actually. There was one thing on the inside. A serpent. And I've taken the serpent and I've ingested him. And now he starts to work. Just like the prodigal. He had a good old time. He had daddy's money. He had friends. He had parties. He had some success. He acquired what he was looking for. He thought. And for a season he enjoyed the sin. Because there is pleasure in sin for a season. But then what? Then it all ran out. In the world it will all run out. Success will run out. Happiness will run out. Fulfillment will run out. Pleasure will run out. And then you have what is left. Then you have the reality of the matter that Satan is the god of this world. And you wake up to the reality of truth. And he may even give you the illusion until the day that you die. But as you die, hell expands and you see the flames coming up to greet you. This is the world. If you are a born again believer and you go into the world, then the world will chastise you. Like it did the prodigal son. Oh, it will give you its pleasure for a while, but then it will give you its chastening. How many young women and men, but particularly true, I think, with women, because women tend to suffer the consequences more deeply, who go into the world and give their bodies to the world, to some unsaved guy. They go down into the city and they go to a bar and they get picked up by some unsaved guy and they develop a relationship and maybe they get pregnant. And where's the guy then? Or maybe he'll stay with him and he turns out to be who he is. And it is not such a good relationship after all. Maybe he will beat her or abuse her and he will be cruel to her. He promised her love and he gave her cruelty in return. Or maybe some young people, and this, you know, certainly happens to men and women both, they go and they have relationships and then they get a disease. And all of a sudden, the moments of pleasure, and there was pleasure for a season, and they are gone, and now you have what is left over. Now you have the reality of the matter. And so they went into the world, and the world consumes, and the world destroys, and it brings death. Their heart lusted. They turned away from God. They turned away from the perfect will. They pursued lust. They pursued desire. They pursued acceptance in the world. And they found death. Well, I've got news for you. There is no acceptance in the world. There is a temporary tolerance, but there is no acceptance in the world. And though the world may embrace you, it will not be kind to you. It will be cruel to you. And they will embrace you just so long as you are pleasing to them, and then they will become cruel. Oh, I may be fulfilled. Maybe I will have some illicit relationship in the world and have an affair. Or maybe I will go and I will start to party and have my friends. Or maybe I will make my money and find my fulfillment and satisfaction in many things. But those things do not satisfy on the inside. Those things can never fulfill my heart. Those relationships will not fill me. And though I pursue maybe even get into an affair with somebody where it gets physical, it cannot fulfill me either. And then I simply feel dirty and unclean and impure, and I have given away that which is precious. And I become very, very sick of myself. In myself, I become sick. I am infected. And maybe I am physically infected, but regardless of whether I am physically infected or not, my soul has become infected and it becomes diseased and ill. It is infected and I am scarred in my heart. And I have to harden my heart, and I will turn hard and bitter because I have pursued that which was not of God. I had pursued Satan's plan. By the way, Satan does have a plan for your life. That plan was designed the day you were born. God has a plan for your life that was designed in eternity past. And so I follow Satan's plan and I get Satan's fruits. And it is death to me. And I harden my heart so that I can just continue, so that I do not have to feel dirty and unclean and impure. And so I harden my heart and I laugh at it. But in my heart, on the inside, in the depths of my true feelings, of my true thoughts, that I don't share with anyone, I am empty and hurt. And I cry on my inside, but I do not let anyone see it, because I have turned away from God. I'll never forget when I was, I guess it was my sophomore year of college, a classmate of mine, a young woman, she got teased a lot because she was a virgin. And she went to a Friday night party and she lost her virginity. And the Monday that I saw her after the party, she had changed. She was hard. She was calloused very quickly. And she had changed. She was tender, and she became hard. Why did she become hard? Because she was feeling unclean. In her heart, I believe she was ashamed and felt violated and dirty. And so she hardened her heart so she could be accepted by a world that did not love her. She gave herself to a man who had no love for her. And yet, he took her anyway. Why? Because he was a deceptive man. He was not pure. He was not from God. He was not right. He was a thief. He was a murderer. Because he murdered who she was on the inside. Never pursue the world. Never pursue the world. The world has nothing to offer. The appearance of pleasure is only an appearance. There is nothing that can be offered. All good things come from God. Not from the world. The world has no good things to offer. Never pursue the world. Pursue God. Pursue holiness and righteousness. Don't be afraid to walk in faith. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed to be a Christian. You are the child of the king. A Christian who is ashamed to be a Christian is like the son of a king who is afraid, ashamed of being the son of the king. Never be ashamed of being a Christian. Never be ashamed of your purity or your holiness. Never be ashamed of God's righteousness. Never be ashamed of the Word of God. Do not be ashamed even in the face of the world's ridicule. The world is lost and foolish and stupid. They do not know their own spirit. They do not know their own end. And they do not know their beginning either. They don't know where they came from and they don't know where they're going. The believer knows where he came from and he knows where he is going. The world thinks that chance created the planet. How stupid is that? Chance has never created anything. Chance has no intelligence to create with. Chance has no strength or no power. But God does. Do things God's way. Live God's way. Think God's way. Trust God, God's way. Do not walk by sight, walk by faith. You are already in eternity. Do not come and feed on the dust. You are in eternity seated at the King's throne, on the King's throne, with Christ at the right hand of God. Do things God's way. Don't long for the world. You are longing for death. Do not long for the world. Long for God's life. It is fulfilling. There is no joy that is greater than God's joy. There is no laughter like the laughter that God gives. Pastor Vieira, a friend of mine, who was one of my teachers in Bible college, used to tell about when he was in Australia as a missionary, and people, he and his team would go, like, they'll go outside soul winning and then they'll go to like McDonald's or something for a wrap afterwards, and they would laugh so hard everybody thought they were drunk, because certainly you can't have a good time without being drunk, can you? You know what? They did. And they had such a good time everybody thought they were drunk, because how else do you have a good time? You have a good time by being Spirit-filled, by being around others who are Spirit-filled, by experiencing the life of God flowing, and it gives you joy, and it gives you laughter, and it gives you a merry heart and a lightness of spirit. The world does not do that. The world says, oh, if I'm going to have a good time, I need to have some alcohol so that I can be free of my inhibitions, so that I can be stupid in my behavior and my actions and my words, and so that I will be acceptable in my stupidity. There was a test done one time, I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was John Stossel, the reporter, on 2020 or whatever that show's called now. Several years ago, he went to a college in a nearby bar, and he had arranged with the owner of that place that they would serve only non-alcoholic beverages, but they wouldn't tell anybody, and he would pick up the tab for everybody. And so these college kids would come in there and they would drink this stuff, and they started acting stupid, and they called it fun, and they threw away their inhibitions. And then he came up to them with the cameras and he said, did you know that you haven't had a drop of alcohol all night? And they were ashamed, because there was no joy, no fun, no pleasure in the world. They simply wanted, for a short season, not to have to be self-conscious. Not to have to be worried about what somebody else thinks of them so they could be accepted. This is what the world offers, self-consciousness and fear. This is why they go to those places in the first place. They are looking for something. I forgot who it was, but somebody once says every time a man knocks on the door of a prostitute, he is looking for Christ. Every time these young students go into a bar, or young folk, or old folk for that matter, they go into a bar to have a drink, they are looking for something, and it's not found in their bottle. They are looking for Christ, they just don't know where to look. The world looks for the fulfillment that is given by God to the believer. But there is only one way to receive that fulfillment from God and nowhere else. There is no other source. There is no other option. There is no other way that is the way of life. I trust God because God is trustworthy and He loves me. I don't go to the world because there is nowhere to go. Oh, I can find a physical place. I can find a building where they'll give me something if I give them some money. But that's no fulfillment. It is empty as empty comes. And when I embrace it, I embrace a serpent. And the serpent bites and he kills. Do not pursue the world. Do not embrace it. Love the lost with God's love, but do not embrace their way. Do not embrace their life. Do not embrace their way of doing things, their lifestyles. Do not embrace their thinking. It is only the mind of Christ that is the mind of God. The mind of the world is a lost and dying mind. The mind of God gives thoughts that come from eternity, that are thoughts of life. Only the originator of eternal life can give you thoughts that bring life. The world cannot bring you anything, except for that which will destroy. Because there is a wage to be paid. There is a price. The world will tell you, I love you. They will. Because they are self-centered. What do I mean by that? The love in the world is a currency. They are trying to purchase something. They tell you, I love you, because they are trying to buy something from you in return. Perhaps they want you to tell them that you love them. Perhaps they want you to give them yourself to them. And this happens with women all the time. A young man will tell a young woman, an ungodly young man will tell a young woman, and maybe she is a beautiful believer, but she is not particularly discerning or sharp in the spirit. And he says to her, I love you. And an ungodly young man will do that because he is using those words. He is using love as a currency. He is trying to purchase something from her. And eventually, because she is looking for friendship and acceptance and to be welcomed and belong, she will say, okay, you can have what you have purchased. That is not a good thing. It is not love. It is not acceptance. And it is not belonging. The young man has simply purchased something. But he doesn't love her. In the world, there is no true love. There may be affection, and the world would certainly tell you, oh, there is true love, but no, there is not. You see, love is of God. Love is of God, and it only comes from God. There is no other source. Even love between people Let's say somebody is married, they cannot love their wife or their husband apart from God, because love is of God. The world will confuse affection with love. But an affection is simply a satisfaction of the emotions on the basis of somebody else's performance. That's all it is. Love is the character of God manifested in an outward manifestation with God's heart and God's actions. The world doesn't love. God loves. The world uses. God gives. Do not look for the world. Do not seek the world. Never look for the world. Never seek the world. The world has nothing to offer you. You see, you are the children of the King. You have an inheritance in heaven. It is entirely possible to experience the inheritance now. And that is God's plan for us, to experience the inheritance now. Not later, now. God's life, God's plan in a person is life. The world doesn't offer life. God offers life, and He gives it abundantly. The world looks for life, and they find death. I come to God, and I say, I have no life, only have death, and He gives me His life. The world says, pursue after your lust patterns, and maybe if you are very fortunate and work very hard, you will be able to attain what you are hoping for. God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. There is nothing in the world. It is an empty and dry, desolate place. Do not believe the illusions. They are simply illusions. Life comes from God. Joy comes from God. Love comes from God. Acceptance comes from God. Hope comes from God. Fulfillment comes from God. Pleasure comes from God. Truth comes from God. All that I seek, I will find, but I can only find it with God. There is no other place. God is my source and my provision. And whatever it is that I desire, I will find it with Him. But I cannot find it anywhere else. Amen.